Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I discuss the stories that help us accomplish to be better artists as well as better art entrepreneurs. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I'm artist, art entrepreneur, and art coach or teacher. This is episode 63 of Art Talk, and today I have the director of the VAA, Visual Artists Association, Laura O'Hare, as a guest. Laura O'Hare is responsible for leading the artistic and business development at VAA. She has been working in the fine arts sector since 2012 and is a founder of the Visual Artists Association. Presently, director of the Visual Art Open Awards and Chester Arts Fair, she has a wealth of experience in managing relationships with artists and understanding their needs. She also has an extensive network, including arts organizations, galleries, publishers, and commercial partners. She has helped hundreds of artists figure out how to thrive at all stages of their fine art careers. Prior to working in the arts industry, she was a solicitor specializing in employment law for over 15 years. Welcome, Laura. I'm so happy to have you as my guest today.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm delighted to be here as your guest. It's wonderful to be able to come and chat about art and VAA and everything related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your background is that of law, but what brought you to the arts?
Okay, yeah. So I was in law for about 15 years, which was great. I worked across discrimination law. That was the area that I worked in. So race discrimination and sex discrimination. Loved what I did. But then latterly, it was in one of my last job, because that's how I found art. I had quite a few clients that were interested in art, and I knew a handful of artists, some of them friends, some of them connections I'd made along the way. And I thought, do you know what, wouldn't it be a great idea if I could put on an event, showcase some of these amazing artists' work, and bring some of my clients through the event, and we could possibly raise some money for charity along the way. So I put on that event, did that weekend, and it went surprisingly well. I think we sold, it was around £100,000 worth of art for the artists.
That's not bad.
Yeah, no, it was pretty amazing. And if I remember rightly, I think it was about 80% went to the artists of that money, and then 20% went to the local charity, Clare House, that I work with. And so it was after that I was basically hooked into the art world, so to speak. And I was then introduced to Shirley Ann, who obviously is my co-director, co-founder with the Visual Artists Association. And that's how we started. And yeah, 10 years later, over 10 years later, and this is where we are now.
Yeah, and it's growing.
Yes.
It's really growing, right? Yeah,
it is. And yeah, I mean, growing in terms of obviously the artist members, but growing in terms of what we're doing and what we're able to deliver for the artists as well, which is what our aim is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing, because when I found it in January after I read the book, and to me it was like, wow, these are actually people who know things behind where we as artists want to come. So you bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So you worked also in the fine arts sector since 2012. You already explained how you came there. What did you learn from artists, and how were you able to bridge that gap between them and the collectors or galleries?
Well, I suppose rather than just saying what I learned from artists, first of all, like, I learned that there were so many talented artists out there. And from those talented artists, on a daily basis when we were working in large-scale art events, exhibitions, We were asked question after question about how to sell their artwork, how to become more visible. And I knew that artists were short on opportunities and resources to help them get their work shown or to become visible to buyers. And also to learn perhaps some easy business skills, which would help artists achieve their goals. We were able to do some of this to some extent through our fairs and exhibitions, but we knew we had to do something on a larger scale that would have a bigger impact, would be like a movement for artists, would really disrupt the change. And so it was after lots of brainstorming, we thought, how can we help artists that we then, thought of the Visual Artists Association in 2019, just before the pandemic. So we learned that there were lots of questions that needed answering, lots of opportunities that needed to be found, and we needed to help artists as well network with both professional, people in the arts world, but also other artists, because it was quite a cottage industry.
Artists are
often working alone, and we felt that that was really important to get that. And we talked about this actually just before the podcast connection.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the thing, the networking. And next week I will be there again in the live networking, which is, doesn't come natural to me. And I think a lot of artists, and you can learn that, and some will be really good at it and some are less good at it. And I've learned that everyone has his own genius at one point. So it's also based on how your neurology works. Some are really like the lions. They are the ones who go out and they network and they talk and they chat. And you have the ones who are the creator, innovator, and they create. So put me in my studio and I will create. That's my dream, to create.
Yes. Yes.
and have someone else do the other stuff. Because I'm just not very good at it. But the main thing what I saw and what I experienced with the VAA is that there's so many parts that you can still do, even if it's not your genius, the part where you're easy, you can still do some of it, like going to a network. And from the last one, I had already people I invited for the podcast, which is important. You have to talk about your work.
I think, a lot of artists are naturally introverted, and perhaps that sort of typical idea of networking isn't always for everyone. But like you say, there are lots of different ways in which you can network or connect with others. And it might not be necessarily going out there to a physical networking event. It might be, for example, I know we have Facebook groups where artists connect with other artists. And you can start off chatting online in a very sort of easy, measured way. Or you can, you can use social media to connect. So it doesn't always have to be in a traditional way. There are lots of ways that you can network. And quite often you're networking and you don't even realize you're networking.
But that's an interesting one. Yeah. And maybe I do, by inviting people.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. By having your podcast and meeting people and, that's an amazing way of networking.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way. It was more like for my interest in people and then also hoping other would get value out of it. But yeah, I didn't think it. So yeah, can we talk about charities? You already said that you started out with an event and gain a huge amount of money for that charity. How can artists work with them without feeling used? Because it's often that artists who either need to perform, and I am a classically trained musician, so I had to do that and I did this, or donate their work. So what I experienced, and I talk from my own experience, I don't know about others, but is that when you go to charity, they immediately think you donated your work.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you work together with a charity without, because I mean, donating doesn't pay my bills.
Yeah, of course. And you know, let's not be afraid to say it. How can you go to a charity and actually sell your artwork and make some money? You know, everyone has to, as you say, pay their bills. So, I mean, my first thing would be to do your research. So have a look at what charities are out there and which one is right for you. So when I say that, I'm really talking about a charity that aligns with your values, with issues that are important to you. So there are so many out there. You've got environmental children's charities, which is, you know, children was always something that I was passionate about. So I always picked out children's charities. Whatever I did, there was always a children's charity at the end of it. So if you're feeling passionate about something, if you have, you know, or you have a cause that you're passionate about, you're more likely to work well and to make the partnership work well for you. So that would be my first point. There are different ways that you can work with charities then when you've found the right charity that's for you. So the first one might be to put on an exhibition, a solo exhibition. I'm thinking of a few that are coming off the top of my head here. So you could just put on a one-man exhibition for yourself and, you know, speak to the charity, get them to find the venue, or it might be at their head office, so you're not paying venue costs.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to provide, you know, drinks, whatever, canapes, if that's needed for like an opening evening. They're quite willing to sort of do that. They will also have quite an extensive guest list that they can bring. So there might be patrons of that charity that they can invite. There will be donors that potentially would be interested in art. So, you know, you can put something on like that where you're bringing your artwork. And then obviously if you sell artwork at that, reach an agreement with the charity where you perhaps might work, look at it as you would with working with a gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at giving yourself 60% of any proceeds and 40% to the charity. The charity is going to be delighted with that, you know, to have a cut of a sale of a few or numerous sales. It gives them obviously the ability to sort of bring in their guests to buy your so I think that way works quite well. If you're thinking about sort of auctions as well, you know, often artists say, oh, I've been asked to give a piece of work to donate to an auction. You know, perhaps think of it differently. Could you donate a studio visit, for example, as opposed to a piece of artwork? Come to my studio, see me work, have a chat to me, see my work, have a glass of wine with me, you know, make it something that's really special. Most people are absolutely fascinated with the behind the scenes process of an artist. That way they're coming into your studio, they're seeing your work.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what will happen after that?
Yeah.
Then the other thing is if you donate a piece to just a general auction, say, well, look, I can donate 50-50 of what it sells for. And again, go back to that sort of deal. Again, it's about asking. Mm-hmm. And most charities will be delighted to get some proceeds and will realise that also you have to make an income as well.
That makes so much sense. I haven't thought about that way. And I'm sure that a lot of people think, oh, that's interesting. I'm going to look for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, using your artists, your creatives, think outside the box, think of different ways that you can work with charities, and always think, with anything I do, it's about win-win. You know, mm-hmm. How is there a win for the artist? How is there a win for the charity? It's got to work both ways.
Yeah, definitely needs to be that way. Yeah, I think it's also kind of a fear because everyone is so kind of brainwashed or used into artists donate you donate your music, you donate your artwork, you donate this, you donate. And they're reluctant to ask because they're not used to, at the artist end, they're not used to do that. And at the other end, the charities are so almost trained in that they get donations that, that makes it kind of difficult to bridge that.
I mean, again, it's about perhaps knowing